Good morning, and welcome to Morning Worship for Pentecost, Sunday the 31st of May, from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. Our service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Wherever you are and whoever you are, welcome to our worship on this Pentecost Sunday. Do not treat this morning's call to worship lightly. For today we ask God's Spirit to fill us that we may prophesy and dream dreams and see visions. The call to worship this morning is a summons to be touched by holy fire. Even now the flames may dance above our heads, igniting our opinions on peacemaking so that they blaze into commitment. Even now the flames may be burning into our hearts, animating us, leaving us no peace as individuals until God's justice and peace fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. Prophets, visionaries, dreamers, let us all worship with courage and with hope. Our opening hymn, O Breath of Life, comes sweeping through us.
O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O Breath of Life, come cleanse me, new us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. O Wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Then in thy tenderness remake us, revive, restore for this we plead. O Breath of Love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, Love of Christ, afresh to church in every part. Amen.
Let us pray. A spark. That is all we need on this day, imaginative God, to light our quarantined aloneness, so that we can burst into bonfires which signal to all those around us you are bringing life and grace to us and to the whole world. A word, just one little word on this day, poet of Pentecost, so that we can be the voice of all those forgotten by the world. So that we can be the warmth to melt all the hearts frozen by greed. So that we might speak in that still small voice and be the ones that live out your good news to everyone we meet. A breeze. A soft, gentle breeze that stirs the curtains on this day, shattering spirit. A breeze that will stay quiet and peaceful and still until that day comes, and it will. For us to become the storm of hope, to clear the despair from all our communities and lands. Give us yourself this day, God in community, Holy One. Spirit of God, you come aflame with new life, but our apathy threatens to douse your passion. You come on fire with love, yet we limit our affections to a few. You come surging with new dreams and new hopes, but we still cling to the old ways of living. You come, glowing with the vision of the kingdom, yet we close our eyes to your future. Forgive us, Spirit of Truth, forgive us. Come to us anew this day, to shatter our hardened hearts with your tenderness, to set our souls on fire with your love, to send us into a world which aches for the new joy, the new hope, the new life offered in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Listen, it's not an old story, but ours. It may not happen with a mighty wind, but with a soft whisper. But this is our Pentecost. This is our reminder that God forgives us and fills us with all things new. God gives us new hope in endless days of despair, new joy in never-ending moments of grief, and new life when we seem to have lost even the simple ability to breathe. This day, and in all the days to come. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the prayer of the whole Christian Church in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
When have you been really, really excited? Maybe about Christmas, or your birthday, or your summer holidays coming up. It feels like you can't wait for it to happen. I wonder if once you may have been promised a very special present without really knowing what it was going to be. I remember when I was little having to go into hospital for a whole week for an operation, and my parents, who were worried about me being lonely and upset, gave me a bag with, inside it, a present to open every morning. There was the Monday present, the Tuesday present, the Wednesday present, and so on. So 7 presents, so exciting. And of course, I wasn't allowed to open more than one each day. And because my parents visited me each day, they would find out if I had cheated. I don't think I did. I was told they would all be things I wanted, but I had no idea what they would be. So imagine you have been promised a present, but that you have to wait for it, and you didn't know how long you had to wait or what it would be like. It was a bit like that for Jesus' friends and disciples after he had died, after he'd risen again, and after he went up to heaven. Jesus had told them that they would get a special present from him, and he described it as the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know what that meant, and that this present would come soon, but they didn't know when. It was very confusing because they missed Jesus terribly, and they just didn't know what would happen next. So they kept meeting together in a safe place because they were worried about being arrested for being Jesus' friends, and just waited. Well, it came, that present. But even now, it's hard to explain what it was, because some things you don't see every day. They were sitting together when they heard what sounded like a loud wind inside their room. But it wasn't a windy day. Then they looked at each other and saw they had what looked like flames on their heads. But it wasn't burning them. Definitely not something you see every day. but the most important bit was that they felt quite different. They felt like a strong power inside them, that they felt like Jesus was right there inside them, that he was giving them strength and power, and like he was going to be there with them for the rest of their lives. And the present didn't stop there. They were so excited about it, they rushed outside to tell everyone they saw about what had happened. And amazingly, they found that they could speak to people of all different nationalities in their own language. It was like suddenly you were able to speak Chinese when you had never learnt any. And they explained to everyone about Jesus and that he had risen from the dead after being crucified, and that a part of him, his spirit, had come into them. Although some people were rude about them because, well, they were looking a bit crazy, and so they didn't bother to try and understand what they were saying. But lots of other people did listen and understand and believed about Jesus. Now, ever since that time, if someone does accept Jesus as God and tries to do what he wants them to do, they too will have that present. And that means all of us too. But you probably won't have flames on your head or hear loud noises, although some people do have amazing and exciting experiences. It might be that you suddenly just know that you're being helped to do things that are right, or that when things go wrong, that you are being comforted. You just know that he has come and that he lives in your heart and gives us power to live a life that pleases God. Think of having the Holy Spirit a bit like having a torch. It gives a good strong light in the dark and is really useful. But supposing you haven't put a battery in it, it's no use at all. So we want to have that battery to help us. We want to have Jesus' Spirit inside us. And we do when we accept him as God's Son and continue to learn about him and try to do the good things he wants us to do.
Our second hymn, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. I want you to know that no one who is led by God's Spirit can say, "A curse on Jesus," and no one can confess Jesus is Lord without being guided by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all of this. As he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person. Christ is like a single body which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit, and we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.
We all have our experiences of wind. I can recall visiting the Northumberland coast with Louise and being almost overwhelmed by the wind as we stood on the headland at Dunsterborough Castle. You could just about lean into it and be held up. From a very young age, it was clear that Thomas, like some people, was really sensitive to the wind. He really doesn't like strong winds. The direction of the wind makes such a difference to our experience of the weather. In recent days, the glorious sun and high pressure has been mediated by winds from the north, but generally, the more southerly the winds become, the warmer it tends to get. We know about wind. In our experience, wind brings discomfort, disorganization, and maybe even a good bit of dust and dirt. So here is this story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes as a wind. Not, mind you, a gentle spring zephyr that stirs the senses and refreshes the soul. A sound like the rush of a violent wind, the account says, whistling, roaring, whipping through the house, tearing things apart, scattering everything into the middle of next week. This Pentecost wind is a hold on to your hat, batten down the hatches kind of wind. What are we supposed to make of that? This kind of fierce power is not the way we want to imagine the Holy Spirit. We don't want the Spirit whipping through our lives, picking up things we thought were fastened down and moving them to the other side of creation. No. We long for something a little milder, thank you very much. Something calm, peaceful, less unsettling. We sang earlier, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe, show us the Saviour's love. It's beautiful. The sky boat song melody lilts and floats and dances, and while we're singing it, we feel all comforted and reassured. And that's fine. Often, the Spirit brings comfort and beauty. But we get in deep trouble when we imagine that the Spirit's only job is to lilt ballerina-like through our lives. The story in Acts is about an altogether different kind of spiritual experience. Here the disciples are huddled in a room. Jesus has ascended to heaven with a promise to send power from on high. What does that mean, anyway? Power from on high. They don't know. They're just waiting. Something big may happen soon, but they don't know what it's going to feel like, what it's going to do to them. They're in a waiting time. And some of us aren't very good at that. In the church year, some of us want to rush through Advent and Lent. Let's get to Christmas as quickly as possible. And that's not just children who are anxious to reach the presents awaiting them at the end of the journey. And why do we need those 6 weeks before we can get to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday and Easter Day? Some of us are not very good at the waiting. That's one of the reasons why these past couple of months have been so difficult for some. We're waiting. And we're not quite sure what we're waiting for, nor how long we need to wait. Some of us are not very good at waiting. Some of us are much better at doing. We're doers. If doers have a problem, they want to work out quickly what needs to be done and do it. Don't tell them to be patient, to wait and see. They want to do something. Don't just stand there. Do something is their motto for life. But too much activity and a desire to be doing something can lead to its own problems and can take away the opportunity to notice what God is doing or saying or offering. We may need to be wary that our most frequent prayer doesn't become, God, please tell me what to do, meaning, God, let me do something. I can't just stand here. the words of the psalmist come to mind. Be still and know that I am God. The writer, psychiatrist and theologian Thomas More says, care of the soul often means getting out of the way rather than doing something. Over 700 years ago, the great German mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, relationship with God comes not through study or religious practice, but through detachment or letting be. Paul McCartney and John Lennon get it right in their classic Beatles song. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. In her book Soulfest, Marjorie Thompson tells of a minister who returned from a visit to a monastery and confessed to his son that he did not understand how the monks could sit for hours in the chapel before the reserved host, the consecrated bread that represents the presence of Christ. His son, whose wife had recently given birth to their first child, responded, "You know, Dad, I think I understand. Since our child arrived, I just go to her cot and look at her. She doesn't even have to be awake. I am so utterly fascinated that I don't know where the time goes." Let it be. Don't just do something. Stand there. And then here comes this fierce, wild power, roaring through them like wind and fire, and nothing in their lives is ever the same again. All of a sudden, this huddled little band of disciples gets connected with people they might have ignored before. All of a sudden, they're communicating with folk whom they could never have understood before. And before the book of Acts has ended, the followers of Jesus are breaking bread with people whom they once thought were unclean. They are reaching out to their worst enemies. They are scattered to the ends of the known world, preaching the gospel of Jesus. Maybe they're exactly where they're supposed to be, but they're certainly not where they plan to be. And why is that? Whoosh! The Holy Spirit blew through and rearranged their lives. American writer Annie Dillard speaks of the Spirit's power in this way. On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. The churches are like children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should be issuing life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. Lord, help us all. We're talking about incredible power here. A spirit who can rearrange people's lives, who can turn neat little systems of belief on their heads, who can break up inward-looking huddles of believers and scatter them far and wide. It sounds downright terrifying, this power to rearrange, to shatter traditions, to break down barriers. Lord, help us all. We don't want the winds of change. We don't want the Spirit's uncertainty. We don't want the risk of being on the move. Keep those boundaries solid. Guard what is neat and orderly. Stick with the familiar, the traditional. The problem when we do this is that we miss out on so much new life. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit blew into town, broke up that little huddle of disciples, got their tongues wagging, and what happened finally? New life. The church was off. No doubt it looked chaotic and confusing, disorderly and disrupting. But in the midst of all that craziness, the Spirit connected worlds that seemed as if they would be forever separate. The Spirit moved the good news from that tiny little band of disciples out to the whole world. the Spirit brought boldness and courage and strength to Jesus' followers. Boldness and courage and strength, the likes of which they could have never imagined before. When the Spirit of God is at work, when the Spirit really touches us, it very often invades our lives. It tears open the little groups of people that we have put ourselves into. It forces us to see the world around us in new ways, to connect parts of the world that formerly would have never been connected. And the result is new life. So, Spirit-filled church, where do you think the wind is going to blow next? Which part of our lives is the Spirit going to whip through and rearrange? Of course, there's no way to predict exactly. There never is. What we can do is remind ourselves as often as possible of this fact. When the Spirit's wind scatters, it also brings together. The winds of change may bring the appearance of disarray and confusion, but the winds of change also bring tremendous opportunities. Opportunities to connect with people we might never have noticed before. Chances to proclaim the gospel with eloquence we didn't know we had. And the possibility for ending up in places we belong, even if we had never planned to be there in the first place. Oh, what an adventure! There's no telling what's going to happen when this wind of the Spirit starts to blow. So what do you say? Hold on to your hats and let her rip. God isn't finished with us yet. And maybe here's the heart of it for these extraordinary days. We were never meant to sit inside sanctuaries repeating Jesus' words to ourselves. That's not what he does. What he does is go. What he does is walk out into the world. Before Christians were called Christians, they called their new faith the Way. Now, way meant not a way of doing things. It meant a road, a path, a journey forward and onward. The Pentecost story takes us from a little room where Jesus' people are huddled together, out into the marketplace where there are all kinds of people. And these Christians, these first Christians, talk to them in their own language. That means they have to translate. They have to help them understand things they already know. That God is not up there on the judgment seat, but walking with them, like a parent holding on to a child trying their first bike ride, wanting them to learn, trying to prevent the worst falls, ready to stick plasters on skinned knees. This story of Pentecost is a reminder in a few words, a few symbols, of the fire at the heart of the Christian life. You can't kindle it on your own. You have to wait for the Spirit to do that. It calls us to wake up and then to walk out in the world. That takes some courage. But then, doesn't every good thing? Are we courageous? Thanks be to God. Our third hymn, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free. Walk, walk in the light.
Promise life to us. Walk, walk. For our prayers of intercession this morning, I have used some prayer material from Compassion UK, Christian Aid and Tear Fund. Father God, help us to feel your holy and life-giving presence in our homes this morning as we pray together. Separated, but brought together in your name. May we feel the power of your Holy Spirit as we offer our prayers to you on behalf of ourselves and others. Firstly, a short prayer from Christian Aid, followed by a silence. Loving God, we seek your presence in the silence beyond words, looking to you for comfort, strength, protection and reassurance, breathing with gratitude, holding on to hope, trusting with faith that you are still God in the midst of the turmoil and that your love reaches to the ends of the earth. Be present with us now. We pray to you this morning, Heavenly Father, as we remember all the countries and nations of our world, but particularly where disaster has brought loss of life, destroyed homes and livelihoods. We particularly think of those affected by the recent cyclone in southern Bangladesh and parts of India. We pray for the ongoing work to rebuild homes and to repair the widespread damage. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. We pray for countries affected by war and terrorist atrocities, particularly Yemen, Afghanistan and Syria. We pray for all areas of the world affected by harsh rule and governments or heads of state with so little care for their citizens. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. We pray to you, Lord, remembering the most vulnerable around the world, including those many millions living in poverty. We pray for those globally who are facing change, uncertainty and loss due to the present crisis. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. Father God, we pray that you would protect those in our world who are most vulnerable. We lift up the elderly, those with pre-existing health conditions and those without access to good medical care. We pray that they would know your peace, comfort and protection. Father, would you bring healing to those who are already sick and comfort their loved ones? May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. Lord God, we pray particularly for countries in our world who have less resources and infrastructure to respond to the virus. Lord God, in your might and power, we ask that the virus is halted and not spread in some of the most vulnerable communities in our world. Give governments great wisdom as they put in preventative measures. We pray that cases are identified and isolated quickly and that the correct decisions are taken to protect those who are most vulnerable. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. Father God, we pray for churches to be a beacon of light, hope and comfort to their communities during this time of uncertainty. We pray people would know they can look to their local church for help. We pray you would help churches who are having to reimagine how to do mission during this time. We ask that you guide them in their planning for the future and that discussions are meaningful, prayerful and led by your will. Loving God, we pray you would help us as the church to love our neighbour. Help us to point others towards your love with our practical acts of love and compassion. Lord, we pray particularly for those who work in churches and charities around the world. We ask that you would empower and equip them as they seek to continue supporting whole communities, children and families. Grant them great innovation as they look to continue offering their projects and support in alternative compliant ways. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. Father God, we pray for great wisdom for our government and health advisers. Lord God, please guide their decisions and help them to communicate plans clearly. We pray they would make decisions which would quickly and effectively stop the spread of the virus, sustain our leaders and grant them energy during this time where they work long hours under great stress and strain. Father God, we pray for health workers around the world. We give thanks for the incredible NHS staff here in the UK. Lord, would you sustain and keep them during these times? Grant nurses, doctors and other health professionals great wisdom as they make medical decisions and give them energy and resilience. Father God, we pray for your blessing over medical researchers who are seeking a vaccine. Give them your wisdom and insight. Speed their work and make it effective in protecting lives. May you be their beacon of hope and comfort. Father God, we thank you that for some the restrictions on daily lives are being modified, and we give thanks for this, whilst remembering that for many who are shielding, they still cannot meet loved ones. Help us to continue to support our friends, our neighbours, and those in our congregations who are isolated. God, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, who we can turn to in times of struggle, and that you are our faithful and unchanging, our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in times of trouble. May you be our beacon of hope and comfort. Amen.
Our final hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Now may the Spirit of God, who brooded over the waters and brought order out of chaos, find a home in our hearts and settle our minds as we end this time. May we each be strengthened to live to God's glory this day and forever. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We shall walk with each other, we shall walk hand in hand. We shall walk with each other, we shall walk hand in hand. And together we spread the news that God is in our land. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.